Let's take our Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. This is kind of just a springboard tonight. I would like to talk to you about something tonight. We're trying on Wednesday night and to go through some of the doctrines, the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. And we finished up with the Holy Spirit. And I want to begin tonight and maybe finish tonight. I'm not just trying to stretch something out, but what's on my heart is to talk about the doctrine of the Trinity. There's a lot of people in the world mixed up about the Trinity. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Did you know you can see the Trinity right there in that one verse of Scripture? The Bible said that God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. We know who Paul preached unto the Gentiles. He preached Jesus unto them. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved it is the power of God, believed on in the world. You remember the Philippian jailer, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'll tell you, Paul didn't hesitate, did he? I believe Silas was right in there scotching him. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." He's the reason we can sing at midnight while we're bleeding from our back. He's the reason it don't matter which side of the bars we're on. Amen. We've got victory in Jesus. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight as we light into this subject, God, that you would open our hearts. Help us tonight to glean something that'd be a blessing. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us not only, Lord, to receive, but to leave here tonight and be willing to give out the truths of the Word of God. Lord, I pray for this inmate. I don't even know his name, but Lord, you know his name. You know the very cell he's in tonight. And I ask you, Father, to visit with him there. I pray, God, that he will be able to recall as he gets into the studies, Lord, that are printed there in the print shop at the Rock of Ages. I pray, God, you'll continue to bless him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I will ask you to pray about this. I'm lined up to talk to someone right after church tonight about their soul, and I believe God is dealing with them about their soul. And pray with me about that, please. I want to give you this tonight, just a little bit of introduction. And the term Trinity is not even mentioned in the Word of God. You don't find it in the Bible. And really, in my studies, I found out it really wasn't until about 300 A.D. that doctrine began to become prevalent, amen, among Christians, among God's people. But listen, the word rapture is not in the Bible either, but it's going to take place. There's going to be a catching away, amen. We're going to be caught up together. And in 60 A.D., the Greek writer Lucian, he said this. He said, "The exalted God, Son of the Father, Spirit proceeding from the Father, one of three and three of one." Amen. My dad used to keep a can of oil sitting on the shelf. Anybody ever seen the old metal cans of oil that had a little pop top? What did it say, Brother Jason? Three and one. I mean, three and one. Amen. And one and three. There's only one God. We'll share that with you after a while. The Trinity comes from a Latin word, Trinitas, and it means threefold. Many people have tried, including this preacher, to illustrate, but I'm going to give you something tonight. I really believe that all of man's efforts to really nail down the Trinity, they fall way short, amen? And somebody said it's like man, body, soul, and spirit. The atmosphere is light, heat, and air. Matter is solids, liquids, and gases. Water is snow, ice, and liquid. The sun is light, heat, and chemical effects, yet is impossible using material things to fully grasp the profound truth of the Trinity concerning the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We'll be giving you some verses after a while that I believe will be a blessing to you. Augustine, he was trying to figure it out. I had a person tell me one time that they would get saved if they could ever figure God out. You know what I told them? You'll die and go to hell. You'll never figure him out. I ain't never been able to figure him out. Your little mind ain't going to figure him out. Listen to what Augustine said. In trying to figure out the Trinity, he ran upon a boy digging a trench by the seashore. He asked the little boy what he was doing. And the lad replied, "I'm digging a trench so I can empty the sea into it." He realized then, he thought to himself, am I not trying to accomplish the same thing by seeking to exhaust with my reason the infinity of God and to collect it within the limits of mine own mind? I'm going to tell you, he's a mighty, mighty God. Amen. We had Bible school a little while back, I think 2 or 3 years ago, entitled The Mighty God. Might have been longer than that. I still got the t-shirt to prove I was there. Amen. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, it's not a truth to be figured out. You say, "Well, Pastor, why would you even speak about it?" Because it's a truth that's received by faith. That's exactly right. It's received by faith. You say, "Explain it." I can't even explain electricity. Amen. But that's not going to keep me from flipping the switch if I need a light. Say amen. How many's ever had the power go out at your house? How many flips the switch anyway? The well tears up, Brother Dale, or something happened in the water line out there in the county. How many goes to spick it anyway? Amen. What's really bad is when you get all your clothes off and get in a shower. Have to turn around and get back out. I'm just telling you, beloved, we don't have to figure him out to trust him. And I'm glad it's out of the way. Amen. Amen. When my children were little, they didn't have to figure Daddy out to trust him. If Daddy said jump, they don't have to have you figured out. They just have a trust. They have a faith. Amen. The Trinity is an object of faith. As someone said, the plumb line of reason is far too short to fathom this mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. Without controversy, it's a great mystery. The Father, the great upholder and purpose of all things. The Son, I love the word only in this, the only redeemer of mankind. Y'all believe that tonight? If you believe the Bible, you have to believe that tonight. Amen. He's the only redeemer. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You say, "Pastor, that verse has become so familiar." Let me tell you something, beloved. You better believe that verse. And that better be what you share with others. Amen. Listen, let me boil it down to you. It's Jesus or hell. It's the cross or it's condemnation. Amen. Forever and ever and ever. It's the light of the world, the Lord Jesus, or it's darkness, outer darkness, forever and ever. I don't wish that on anyone. And then the Holy Spirit, he's the indispensable sanctifier and enlightener. I thank the Lord for that. The Bible teaches that there's one God. You say, "Well, why in the world would you talk about the Trinity if there's one God?" There is one God, but he's manifest in three persons. I think it's a mistake tonight, I'll just say this right here, to refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, like he's an influence. Amen. I think he is the third person, no less important than the first and second of the Godhead. Listen to what the Bible said in Deuteronomy 6:4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." 1 Timothy 2:3. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." I want you to remember that. Our Savior. God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Let me tell you something right now. Paul was a smart man. As smarter than I'll ever be. And if he wanted to put Mary in that verse, he could have. But he said there's one mediator between God. He didn't say go to Jude for this, or go to Peter for this, or go to Mary for that. You go to Jesus for everything, or you don't get to the throne. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's the mediator tonight, seated at the right hand of the Father. The Bible said, now listen, remember that God, our Savior? For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see how these are meshing together? God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. Now, the Bible didn't use the word or, Brother Vince. God's pretty smart. He could have said or. Say, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The word Elohim, 500 times it's used by Moses, 5,000 times in the New Testament. It's a plural form of God, the supreme God. I want you to notice tonight just a few things here concerning the word us. Now, I got sense enough to know that there's a difference between me and us. And I can say me if I'm talking about one person. And I can say us if I'm talking about more than one person. Now, my grandson Jordan, he had a hard time figuring it out. He would say, Papa, what, son? Me got socks on. I said, Jordan, you're supposed to say I. We'll work on the God later. I got socks on. Amen. I'm doing that for Miss Eve so she knows I'm not forgetting something over there. Amen. My son came over, and I was trying to wrestle with Jordan over that. He's, I guess, about 4 years old or so. And my son came over and said, Dad, does he have any concept of money? I said, I don't know, son, but I'll find out. We got one of Miss Eve's little ring boxes. And that's all she's ever got, little rings. But anyway, we got one of them little boxes, and I put some nickels in it. And I said, now here's what we're going to do, Jordan. Every time you say I, when you're supposed to say I said, Papa's going to put a nickel in that box. And every time you say me, when you're supposed to say I, Papa's going to take a nickel out of that box. I was lenient. He wouldn't have even had a box if I hadn't have been. About 3 hours into it, Brother Brian, he said, Papa, I said, what, son? He said, I got socks on. I done give him several nickels for saying that. And I just ignored him. He said, Papa. I said, what? He said, I got socks on. I said, well, why are you telling me, Jordan? He said, because me want a nickel. Amen. Yeah. God could have said me if he wanted to say me, but he said us. Listen to these verses. And God said, let us make man. That's common. We know that. In our image. After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Genesis 1:27. So God created man. Watch this. In his own image. Right there you got us and his own. Talking about just the creation of man. You say, Pastor, you got to explain that. No, we just got to believe it. Say amen. Watch this now. He created it, him, and I need to read this in this generation especially. Male and female created he them. That's still the way he's making them today. Amen. You go down there and tap somebody's shoulder at the nursery and say, they're having a baby, and what is it? Nobody's ever turned around and said, we don't know. They'll either say it's a boy or it's a girl. Amen. That's the way God's still doing things. Isaiah chapter 6, listen to this verse. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. I love this truth in the Word of God. Five chapters, Isaiah saying, woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them. You get to chapter 6, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I talked to today? Oh, it was Brother Buddy. Brother Buddy said, sometimes preachers said, I can't figure out why some go fast like the senator from South Carolina did and others just seem to linger. I said, you know, brother, that's out of our control. Our God's the one that controls that. But I said, I will tell you this. I said, sometimes people lay around a little while so family and friends can see. Yeah. Amen. And get ready. Amen. Because that day's coming in their life too. And God can speak to hearts. God knows what he's doing. But anyway, Isaiah, after he saw the Lord high and lifted up, the word of God said, he said, woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You ever get in the presence of God, you won't be talking about your brother or your sister. You'll understand, beloved, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And the Bible said in verse 8, I heard a voice, Isaiah said, saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Us. Amen. Who's going to go for us? Isaiah said, then said I, here am I, send me. The word of God said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us. You remember when they built the Tower of Babel, come to know good and evil, and in here in the creation, the garden, they became beloved like one of us, and to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his own hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. He said, man has become as one of us. In Genesis 11:6, and the Lord said, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down. That's what the word of God said. And there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. It's plain in the word of God that there's sometimes that God is referred to as singular. There's one God. But then there's also times he's referred to as plural. In a few other examples tonight, and we'll finish up, in Matthew chapter number 3, this is probably one of the greatest examples. Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Anybody can't see that, beloved? Listen, don't want to see it. Amen. You've got the Son going under the water, the Spirit of God descending, and the Father saying, he's my Son. And I'm pleased with him. Amen. The word of God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Over and over, there's examples in the word of God where you can see the Holy Trinity. In Matthew 28:19, listen, how many is aware that there are some people that are Jesus only? How many's aware of that? There's a whole cult. I'll just tell it what it is. Amen. Jesus only. They'll only baptize in Jesus' name. What did the Word of God say? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Isaiah chapter 61. Listen to this example. I think it's wonderful. The Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Who's the me? We're going to find out in the book of Luke. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now let's compare that with the scripture in Luke. Luke chapter 4. And he, this is Jesus, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah. That's what he's referring to. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, the scripture, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. You see, over and over and over in that Old Testament, God would prophesy and talk about his son that was coming. And it was the Spirit of God that was going to reveal him to you and to me. The Word of God said in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, they're three, yet they're one. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. One verse of Scripture again, and you see all three of them working in unison together. Amen. Now let me ask you this. When Jesus was praying, does anybody remember in John 17? You might say, what in the world would the Trinity even have to do with us? Well, if you're going to believe what the Bible teaches concerning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, you can't believe there's three gods. There's one God, but they're manifest in three persons. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe with all of my heart, God wants us to understand tonight that as we go forth into this world that we live in, we need the Holy Spirit. We need His power in our hearts. We need His power that we might say what needs to be said. And we need tonight to understand that, listen, Jesus, if you don't believe in the Trinity, then you might have a hard time believing that Jesus is not a created being. But I tell you, you've messed up if you think God the Father made Jesus, because, listen, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. By Him. That's talking about Jesus. You say, how you know it's talking about Jesus? Read verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so tonight, it's important. Jesus is not a created being. He's the Creator. God the Father is the Creator. You get into verse 2 of Genesis 1, and the Spirit moved upon the water. It, right there, God the Father, God the Son, and God, that's the us of the Word of God. Amen. Listen, I'm glad the us dwells among us. In John chapter number 17, listen to what Jesus prayed. For you and I, that they may be one, even as we are one. You think about this. And what the Bible say, I believe it uses these words over and over, that the world may know, that the world may know, that the world may know. There can be somebody right on the fence. And I guarantee you that a lot of people in this church has experienced it. And some kind of a problem raise up. And they say, boy, if that's what being Christian's all about, I don't want no part of it. Amen. We better take that to heart, that we may all be one, even as He is one. Amen. That's important. Unity, harmony, it's important to the Lord. It's important to the church, important to God's people. Well, I hope that's been a blessing to you tonight, and I hope the Lord will just help us to understand and realize that though we don't understand it all, we can believe it all. Amen. I could study the Bible for 100 years and never even begin to scratch the surface of what God has in the depths of His Word. Brother Gary, we're supposed to have a business meeting tonight, ain't we? All right.